The Blaze Radio Network. On demand. Freedom's Disciple on demand.
On the Blaze Radio Network.
And I would ask you, and I've asked you this question different times over the last 3 years of doing this show, of what's really important to you? You know, this Christmas, maybe take a few minutes out and go, what's really important to me? What are my focus? What do I do that's really critical in my life? And what do I do that's just not important? Because we are building up a culture of stuff that really isn't important. I want to share a story with you that comes from Russia, but it's a very, if you understand the principles behind this story, which we'll discuss, it happens all the time. And it very much happens in America all the time. There's this guy called, I'm really bad at pronouncing names, Kirill Tereshin. He's 21 years old. He's a soldier. And basically what he has, if you look at his picture, he's on Instagram, he's famous on Instagram apparently. He's got bazooka arms. If you look at him, he's a really small, maybe not really small, but, you know, smallish kind of build guy. And he's got major arms. He's got bazooka arms. They're huge. They're enormous. They're bulging. And he's been posting on Instagram that his arms are about to fall off because of doctor's advice. He's going through a lot of health problems. They're saying that, you know, they could fall off. They'd have to be amputated. But also saying he's got risk of stroke. Well, why would big arms cause all of those health issues? There has to be some deeper meaning, right? Yeah, there is. He is injecting himself with synthol, which is about 85% oil, 7.5% lidocaine, and 7.5% alcohol. And basically what you do is you inject yourself with these things, and instead of muscle being in your arms, it's oil, and it gets big and it looks big, and some people think girls like big arms, and his body is way out of proportion if you actually see some of the videos that he shared. But he's got big arms and he loves it, and it's a big thing for him. I want to focus in on two points for this discuss with you. One, and this is not about him, this is about society in general. One is, we are so much a society of instant gratification. Hey, I want that. I want it now. I want it now. I want it. I want it now. We go crazy if things don't happen instantly. We go absolutely bananas. We want it, and we want it now. As someone who understands, I understand that I want it now. I'm going through a similar process, not as him per se, but the I want it now. I've been on a 9-month journey to lose weight. I'm back in the gym and I'm training hard. I want my old body back. I'm lifting weights. But it's been a 9-month journey, and it's going to be another at least 12 or 18 month journey to get where I want to go. Because not only do I want to lose weight, I want to get strong as I was 15 years ago when I used to actually weightlift seriously. One of the goals I've set myself for 2018 is by Christmas next year, I want to bench press 400 pounds. I'm currently, my high this year is, and it happened about a week ago, was 231. So I have a long way to go. I nearly need to double what I'm lifting. Do I think I'll hit it? With hard work, I will. With dedication, I will. And if I'm not injured, I will. But it will take 12 months at least to hit that 400 pound goal. At least. And it will take a lot of blood, sweat, and tears in between. That's hard work. That's dedication. This guy just wants to pump himself and inject himself to get big arms. Instant gratification. His arms are currently 23 inches. That's huge. By any stretch of the imagination. That's probably around the size of Hulk Hogan's arms, for example. So like they're pretty big. And he wants to get up to 27 inches. So it's considerable considerable size of arms he wants, but he's not willing to put in the hard work. But there's another part of the story, if you read down all the way to the end, and I'll read out something to you that is so troubling that you see in society all the time. What he wants, the reason he's doing this, is he wants 1 million Instagram followers, and he wants to become, he has an offer to become a porn star. You're risking your health. You're risking your arms and your body to get 1 million subscribers on Instagram. Now, I can't mock him. In some ways, deep down, whether we like to admit it or not, we are all numbers people. 1 million subscribers on Instagram? Okay. I can't mock him. I have never had an idea of getting 1 million subscribers. I don't have any ideas, goals of getting 1 million followers on Twitter or 1 million followers on Facebook. I don't get that. I also don't see people as subscribers or followers. I see all as family and friends, people who we interact and have a great relationship with. But in deep down, we're all part about numbers. You know, this show, I don't gear it towards anything, but I have major goals for 2018 of how many people I want to reach in 2018. So we're all part of numbers, but to get 1 million subscribers on Instagram, it kind of feels a bit empty, doesn't it? And then he wants to stop working, and he's considering becoming a porn star. What type of culture do we want to live in? I asked this question several times, but seriously, what culture do we want to live in? Is this the type of culture? The great thing about the free market, getting back to economics just for a second, the great thing and the most frustrating thing about the free market is sometimes the outcome is really, really good and you're like, yes. But there's sometimes always where the outcome of free markets suck. Sometimes I would ask this question, and I'm not asking for government regulation or anything. But do you think someone who injects themselves and gets bigger and bigger with oil in their arms and then maybe works in other parts of their body because he said he might do that because he's clearly out of proportion deserves reward with to stop work and to become a porn star? Is that the dream? That I made it because I was willing to risk amputation and losing my arms by filling them with oil. That's how I made my, that's the key to my success. It's an interesting question to ask, but there's also another interesting question because deep down, I actually feel sorry for the guy. Because a point in time is going to come. Let's say this guy hits every milestone. He gets to stop work. He gets his million subscribers on Instagram. And he does a porn movie. And he lives comfortably money-wise for the rest of his life. What skill has he done? What has made him unique? The only difference that made him unique was he was willing to inject himself with stuff. With this mixture. With basically 75% oil. And lidocaine and alcohol, and willing to risk amputation to become famous. We see this all the time in society. We saw this most tragically earlier this year in a story that we still don't have many details on, the Las Vegas shooting. It appears the motive of that guy was purely to be famous. This drive to become famous is incredible to me. I also wonder, when I hear people have been driven to be famous and to be in the public eye, I always wonder, have they ever understood or have they ever really thought about the results and the responsibilities of being famous? Let me give you one example that y'all are very familiar with. Glenn Beck. If an angel or a genie or whatever word you want to fill came down and said, you know what, John? I'm going to give you Glenn Beck's life. Do you want it? No. Not a chance in hell. But John, you know, you'd have 10 million people to speak to daily. Yeah, I know. I don't care. I don't want it. But you look at all the charity work that you're very passionate about. Look at the impact you'd have. You'd be able to help the Nazarene Fund. Yeah, I know. I wouldn't want it, personally. I'll find another way. For that, there's two reasons for that. One is because it would be a shortcut. I'd be living someone else's life. But on the bigger picture, I don't know anyone who, if they truly understood Glenn Beck's life, who would want it. You know, for many reasons. Let me explain why I say that. One is, I don't know how he deals with all the hate and the insults. I really don't. I don't know how you would measure the most hated people in the world, but he has to be, he isn't far off, let me tell you. And if you want proof, just go look at his Facebook post. You still see to this day people going, do you regret not supporting Trump, and you're never Trumper, and I hope you fail, and he have people slagging him on his looks, how fat he is, and he's going whiter. You have people slagging him on his faith. You have those who slag him because he's a former alcoholic. You have people saying the most vile things on Facebook and Twitter. Could you put up with that 24/7? Because I know if I was him, I'd be tempted to lash out. A lot. I'd be tempted. But also, I haven't been around Glenn, knowing the security he has and the reasons he has it. There's a real sad part to that life. Now, obviously, he's very fortunate to be in a position to have security. Others who need it really sometimes don't. So he's very fortunate in one way. But not having that privacy, having security at your home, having security at your work, having security everywhere, having no privacy. There's part of that life I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. But yet we are driven by fame. How many people in talk radio who are in my industry just want to be famous? I can tell you there are quite a few. I know them and I've worked with some of them. All they want is to be famous. They don't care if they change the world. They just want to be famous. What type of world do we want to live in? I would take that to one last place for you. Go back to economics. You know, there's this time of year, a lot of people buy a real Christmas tree. And one of the things I love about life, and this is, some people ask me, what do I do for fun? I look at things in our everyday lives and try and come up with stories for them and try and learn something from them. You can learn so much from a Christmas tree if you really understand it and what it took to get it to your house. Because what it takes in emotional terms is self-sacrifice and an understanding that what you do, you may never receive the rewards for. But you still do it anyway. And the average Christmas tree takes between 8 and 10 years to grow. 8 and 10 years. Obviously, some of them, if you're wanting the really tall ones, probably take 10, 12, 14 years. But the average one takes 8 to 10 years to grow a Christmas tree. In a couple of weeks, or maybe a month, or maybe it's already happened in some places, all those Christmas trees that have been cut down need to be replaced. The tree farmer, the landowner, has reaped the rewards from those trees. He has sold them on for a profit. He has made money. He has money sitting in his hand, or in his bank account, or in a cryptocurrency if he's smart. And he has to make that decision of going, you know what? I now need to go buy seeds and plant more for 8 to 10 years down the road. I may not be around in 8 to 10 years. Heck, I might not even be around next Christmas. But I have to make that sacrifice. I have to be forward planning enough to look and kind of go, 8 years' time? If I don't act right now, 8 years, I'm in a lot of trouble. 8 years, I'm in a lot of trouble because I have nothing to sell. And if I have nothing to sell, I have no money coming in. And if I have no money coming in, how do I feed my family? There is something amazing about farming. Because you understand, you always have to be investing in the future. You always have to be investing in yourself. You always have to be understanding that you are not really in control of your destiny, that Mother Nature is. Mother Nature plays such a key part in our environment. But you have to be willing to invest. How many people right now, and I don't care what age you are, what race you are, what gender you are, who you sleep with, how you vote, how many people now are understanding of the future? I'm kind of going, I need to plant some seeds right now, and I may never reap the rewards of them. How many people today, if you said to them, you know what you plant today, you will never see the benefits of, do you think they'd plant them? How many people are actually thinking even 8 years from now? How many people are thinking, you know what life is going to be like in 8 years? I need to start planting some seeds. Are we all about instant gratification, all about ourselves, and all about winning right now? As you get to this Christmas season, think about that and ask yourself, what seeds are you planting? Maybe not for 8 years down the road, but what seeds are you planting for tomorrow, for next week, for next month, for next year? What seeds are you planting for 2019? Because here's the truth. If you're like me and you find the time flying, I'm amazed that 2017 is gone. I cannot believe Donald Trump is in office 1 year. It's incredible to me. It's over a year since Hillary Clinton lost. I can guarantee you, if you share that feeling, we will be sitting here, please God, next year, Christmas 2018, going, where did 2018 go? And I can almost guarantee the same, if we're still lucky enough to be here, in 2019, we'd be going, where did 2019 go? What seeds are you going to plant? Are you going to be selfless and plant seeds, even though you may personally not reap the rewards for? Think about that question over Christmas and over New Year. And if you believe in New Year's resolutions, maybe make a New Year's resolution kind of with a bit of selflessness in mind, with a bit of forward planning in mind, and start planting a little seed. Because here's the last thing I'll leave you. We are so caught up in today, it's sad. If you think about, visualize in your hand right now, there's only one thing in your hand in front of you. It's a little seed. And that seed is to grow a Christmas tree. So many people right now will look at that seed going, that seed can't change the world. It's a seed, John. What can a seed do? I am nothing. It's insignificant. This world is huge and big. And you're talking about a little seed? But you plant that seed. And you plant it in good soil. And you nurture it. And you water it. And you look after it. And all of a sudden, that seed is a 10-foot, 12-foot tree that all of a sudden is no longer as insignificant as that tiny seed. So many people today say, I can't change the world. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. But you're so focused on the little seed that you think you have that you're kind of looking at my seed and kind of go, I only am a little seed. I can't change the world. I'm pale and insignificant to everyone else. If you plant your seed and you look after it and you share it and you're selfless and you don't seek to seek the rewards yourself, you will change the world. Because if you plant that seed, you can become that 10, 12 beautiful foot tree. That can be you if you have the right idea, if you have the right principles, if you have the right conviction, and if you truly believe that you can change the world. That is what you can change into. I hope you think about this over the Christmas period. And again, if you make New Year's resolutions, I hope you think about this and maybe make a New Year's resolution based around the seed you want to plant. Whether it's for your family, whether it's in politics, whether it's in life, whether it's in your community, whether it's in church, whatever it is, plant a seed, a new seed. Thank you, and hope you enjoyed this short clip from last week's show. If you want more content based around America being an exceptional idea, eternal principles, and searching for self-evident truths, then please subscribe to my show called Freedom's Disciple, which is available for free on SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play Music, or Stitcher.
Freedom's Disciple with Jonathan Dunn on demand.
The Blaze Radio Network.